Well, if you're blessed or hadn't already been blessed, there's something wrong with you. Amen. That's good. Enjoyed that very, very much. And always enjoy the music around here. And not enjoy it. It feeds me. I hope it does you. And what a blessing. It's good to have the Langford family with us this morning. Missionaries to Australia. And they've been there for several years now. Knew Brother Langford through school and other things. And just appreciate them and their faithfulness. And looking forward to it. This is, focused on Mission Sunday. And by that we mean, as a church, we want to continue to focus on the Great Commission. I really want to encourage you that, Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And for when he turned 30, began his public ministry. And for 3.5 years, he preached and he taught and he discipled and he healed people and raised the dead and all the great things that he did. And then at the end of that 3.5 years, he went to the cross and there he died. And they buried him, but he rose again the third day. And then the Bible says that he spent time with his apostles and disciples and people for 40 days after that. So after his resurrection, he spent 40 days ministering again to people and to his apostles and disciples and so forth. And then at the end of that 40 days, he ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, you can go read about it. But before he ascended, Matthew talks about, before he ascended, he gave a commission to the church. He gave a commission to that group that assembled there, the church that assembled there. And the commission was that they go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In fact, it was even more particular. In Matthew 28, it says that we're to go and to win people to Christ, that we're to go and baptize people, and we're to go and to disciple people. And that was Christ's commission, or Christ's command to His church right before He ascended into heaven. And so our focus on Mission Sunday is simply to remind us as a church family, that our focus remains winning people to Jesus, leading people to the Lord, baptizing them, and discipling. And we do this through various outlets. We do this through our Sunday school. We do this through various other ministries in the church, through soul winning and visitation time. We do this as individuals to our neighbor, with our co-workers, with our friends. It is our command from our Savior. By the way, if He commands it, we should do it. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love Him, you will. And then we're to baptize. And I'm so enjoying having a baptistry that we can baptize anytime we want. Some of you don't know, but up until the last year and a half, it was a pretty good work to baptize around here because we didn't have a quote-unquote real baptistry. But now we just punch a little button and it heats everything. It's great. And so we baptize and then discipling. Discipling through one-on-one discipleship on Wednesday nights. Discipling through the Sunday school and master's clubs and children's church and Sunday, all the way around. And through the preaching and teaching from this pulpit. And so forth. But when Acts chapter 8, and I'm sorry, I'm taking a little time here, but Acts chapter 1, before he ascended, he reminded them that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but also in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're not supposed to just be winning people in Haslett. We're supposed to be at the same time. At the same time, it uses the word and. At the same time, we're supposed to be winning people in Texas. We're supposed to be winning people in America. And we're supposed to be winning people to the uttermost. And so it's our responsibility as a church. By the way, it's our primary responsibility. That's why it's up to us to stay focused. And there are, I always bring this up, but I will again. A lot of churches have lost their focus. And we need to stay focused. And so that's why we have this Focus on Mission Sunday. Brother Langford's here with us. He's going to show a presentation. He's going to preach to us. And just reminding us of the need around the world to spread the gospel. And for us, our part is to pray for the missionaries. Our part is to support them financially. And so this morning we'll be taking Brother Langford on as one of our missionaries. And, it's about sending these missionaries out again around the world. So I wanted for our visitors' sake to kind of cover that. And just a reminder, let's stay focused. Let's stay focused. I don't want to ever Heritage Baptist Church to be known around the country as a social club. I want it to be known as a mission station for missionaries and church planters and just a church that is reaching the lost. And that's what we're known for, by the way. Not a doubt in my mind. And you've had other preachers come in here and tell you that many times, not just me telling you. And we are known for that. And let's keep up the good work. Amen. But maybe there's a few here, new church members who are not involved in missions. You ought to get involved. Get involved, and God will bless that. Brother Langford, you come on, and he's going to give his presentation and then preach to us for a little bit. I took some of your time, brother.
Okay, preacher. Thank you very much.
My name is Wayne Langford. I'm out of Calvary Baptist Church in Amory, Mississippi. I know you're saying you don't have a Mississippian accent. I was born and raised in Wills Point, Texas. Got saved. Brother Carl Ogdie led me to the Lord in a Trinity Baptist Church in Wills Point, Texas. And through counsel of my pastor and a few other people, we are now out of Calvary Baptist Church in Amory, Mississippi. My pastor was a missionary in Australia for 12 years, and he was my good friend in Australia too. We've been in Australia for 9 years. We arrived in it's going to be fun. April 1st, 2004. Went from a town of 3,000 to a town of 4 million. That is an April Fool's joke on you, I promise you. So we went there, me, my wife, and my two kids, and we spent a little time in Sydney. We moved up to Port Stephens. We started Port Stephens Baptist Church. You'll see that on the video. Port Stephens Baptist Church did well. We merged it with a young man who came up and started a church close to us. Okay? You have to understand, before that young man came up, the closest independent Baptist church to us was 3 hours south, 4 hours west, 8 hours north. Australia has 24 million people. The video was made where it says 22. It was 22 then. It's 24 million people. Texas has 26. Australia is the size of the continental United States. In Texas, there's an estimated 800 independent Baptist churches. In all of us, Australia, we have an estimated 175. When we go back, we're going to Townsville, northern Queensland. City of 200,000 people has only got one independent Baptist church in it. And I'm sorry, in Fort Worth, Texas, you have too many. I'm just, you don't know how me and my wife feel when we drive through towns, a small town like Graham, Texas, and there's five independent Baptist churches. And we're like, what in the world's happening here? Because we have towns. I'm talking about Newcastle, 600,000 people, didn't have anything until 2007. You got to understand something. Australia, England, Scotland, Germany, France, they're all forgotten countries. We all want to go to Mexico. We all want to go to, you know, I mean, I noticed you support a guy in Vanuatu, and the guy he's going to help in Vanuatu, Jeremy Pinero, I know him personally, he's an Australian. Australia is a first world country. They are 3 to 4 generations away from the gospel. There's men my age that don't know nothing about Noah. I'm laughing now because Russell Crowe is a Australian, and he did that movie on Noah, and now they're all going to know Noah. Now I've got to fix that when I talk to him. So all he did is make more work for me. But anyway, they say the number one religion in Australia is Anglican Church. Anglican Church is Church of England, okay? That's the number one religion. I will tell you the number one religion in Australia is agnostic. Agnostic. I told the Sunday school class when I knock on doors in Australia, the first thing I say is, here's an invitation to church. I give them a track. And I ask them where they went to church as a kid, because 90% of them are not going to church right now. 2% of all Australians claim to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Out of that 2%, who really knows? The teachings... Please don't take the gospel as dead in Australia. It's not dead. You just have to work harder. Average statistics is 1,000 doors knocked in America to talk to one person about the gospel, to have a conversation. In Australia, that average is 10,000. People are getting saved, though. People are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're doing it. You'll see a man on here named Alan Drakefield. I love that man. He got first Australian ever invite me in his house door knocking. And we didn't talk about the gospel. We talked about the military, government, and guns. Because we can't own, I mean, you can own guns. You just, anyway, it's very restricted. But Alan was a Vietnam vet. He came to our Bible study, and he got saved 2 months later. very, very, very faithful man to the church. Still drinks. You let him come to your church drinking? Darn right. My job is to preach the Bible. My job is not to go to your house and tell you how to live. My job is to tell you what the Bible says about it. I've done my responsibility. Now you answer to God for what you do. Okay? Now I'm going to show the video, have the video shown, and then I'm going to come back and tell you where we're going real quick and give you a little funny side of Australia. Okay?
Wayne and Laurie Langford are missionaries to Australia. They're sending churches, Calvary Baptist Church in Amory, Mississippi, Pastor Rodney Waycaster. Wayne and Laurie have two grown kids, Matt, who lives in Texas, and Megan, who lives in Catherine, Australia. Australia is well known for its animals, like the crocodiles, kangaroos, koala bears, and this blue-tongued lizard. But the sun is setting on the world, and Australia is a country of 22 million people, where only 2% claim to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour. People are dying and going to hell in Australia every day. The Langfords arrived in Australia in 2004 and worked with Pastor Mark Tossler at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Phillip Bay, a suburb in eastern Sydney. After spending 14 months working at Lighthouse, the Langfords moved to the Port Stephens area and began Port Stephens Baptist Church. They went soul winning and letterboxing and preached the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Langford family saw people come to their church like Alan Drakefield, who got saved through their ministry and attends faithfully. Other families include John and Heather, Mick, Sylvia and Nicola, the Berger family, Nashville, Titch and James, Ron and Naomi, Davis and Miranda, and the Frost family. They were privileged to see new converts baptized during their ministry in Port Stephens. Laurie Langford had ladies' fellowships and outings, and Wayne and Laurie helped with teen camp. Brother Wayne also helped coach a rugby team and witnessed to many of the members. Pray for Australia. It is a nation largely without the gospel and in great need of labourers. Pray for the Langfords as they return to the States to raise more support. Thank you for supporting Wayne and Laurie Langford. They are deeply grateful for your prayers and your support.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty faces filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private things, leaving fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry. Only Jesus hears. People need the
People tell me all the time, Brother Langford, we admire you and for your sacrifice to go to a foreign country and leave your family, and I will be here. It's not a sacrifice to be in Australia for me. God called me there. He put me there. This is where I want to be. With the technology we have today, I'd rather Skype with you and send you videos and send you emails with pictures instead of come back. It averages 10 to 20 years to establish a Baptist church in Australia. Your building right here, I don't know what it cost you, but in Australia this building would cost you nearly $35 million. That's not counting the land, that's just the building. We pay $450 a week in rent. $8 a gallon in gas. So your $3.50, I'm ecstatic about. Australians are some of the most lovely people you ever meet in your life. Friendly. And I'm talking about friendly. You talk about the gospel, they'll walk away. But they're friendly. We do soul winning. We also do letterboxing. We get to put the little things in the letter in the mailbox. It's legal there. But I also do other things. I become part of the Rural Fire Service. They fight bushfires, so I became part of that. I played rugby. I know, you're looking at me going, yeah, you're old and you're fat. Yes, but I still got to play rugby. Okay? And I promise you, gentlemen, you understand, the older you get, the smarter you get, so you play a little smarter. And that's what I did. I got to witness to every man in my rugby club. There's over 100 men. And I'm talking about open the Bible up, not just talk to them. Open the Bible up and sit down at a table with them. Got to counsel two families, marriage problems. Got to counsel with kids' problems. I got to do all that. Why? Because I became part of them without becoming part of them. Does that make sense? I love them. One thing Australia taught me is you love people. Now, I'm going to give you some funny things about Australia. They shorten everything. Okay? What do you mean? Afternoon's called Arvo. Service station's called Servo. All right? We don't call it lunch break or break at work or whatever. We call it Smoko. Okay? If you notice, everything's an O. My name was Wayno. That's the way it was. We had a guy named Greg Watson on my rugby club. We called him Watto. We had another guy named Watson, too, and then we called him Emotional Watto because it seemed like he cried every time he turned around. So anyway, they gave him the names. I just went along with it. I promise you. We do things like that. They do things a lot. We don't call them saltwater crocs. We don't call them crocodiles. We call them crocs or we call them salties. We call great white shorts whiteys or white tips. Okay, I have two dogs in Australia called Bull Arabs. Bull Arabs are pig dogs. They hunt pigs. They're crossed between a greyhound and pit bulls or American Staffy, one of the two. All right, they stand about as high as your knee and weigh about 75 pounds. My two boys, 75 pounds apiece. All right, they love dogs like that. Australians think all pastors are effeminate, so I have to do things in Australia that I'd never do in America. What do you mean? I told one story. I'll tell you another story. I was in rugby training one night, and we were going through a training. A guy told me he was going to whoop me, but he didn't say it that nice. I told him it would be embarrassing reading the paper, Baptist preacher whoops local rugby player. He said, you can't find me. You're a pastor. I said, I'll whoop you and ask God to forgive me later. He just looked at me, smiled, and said, okay. And after that, we're fine. They think all pastors are effeminate. They do. You have to prove yourself. Australia is an epitome of, we don't care how much you know until we see how much you care. And they want to see that. They want to see you become part of them. We are Australian citizens. We hold dual citizenship. Why? Simple. Oh, you're staying now. Yes, we are. Can't do it with every country. I was able to do it with Australia. Uh-huh. I love those people. And I'll give anything to stay there. Uh-huh. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 10, we're going to talk a little bit, not just about giving to missions. Okay? I mean, I'm like this. If you do what you're supposed to do, if you're Spirit-filled like you're supposed to be Spirit-filled, you don't have to worry about tithing, you don't have to worry about missions, you don't have to worry about soul winning, you don't have to worry about anything, everything falls into place. Sometimes we do things in our own flesh. But I want to talk to you a little bit in Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, about how to become a good Samaritan. Verse number 25, the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself." And I'm sorry, I go to a lot of churches. We justify ourselves a lot about a lot of things. Okay? "He willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered him, saying, A certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out his 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three think was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help me to be a blessing this morning. Open up hearts this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray if anyone here is not saved, that they will just listen intently this morning, Lord, and just surrender to your convicting them. I thank you for the blessings we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know this is a very familiar passage, and I know you've heard it preached over and over and over again, and that's good, but it caught me one time when I was reading this. How to be a good Samaritan. How do you be a good Samaritan? Number one, I'm going to make it simple. Number one, that's okay, I can do without it. That's fine. And number one, we are to seek out people. We're to seek out people. Look at verse number 33. It says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." All right. Now, he said he came to where he was. Let me tell you something. Lost people in this world today are not breaking down this church's door to get in here. Actually, they're not breaking down any church's doors to get in there. Matter of fact, in England, I know for a fact, in England and in Australia, old Anglican churches are turning into pubs and bars today. Why? People don't want the gospel because they don't know what they want. They're living by their flesh. And as Christians, our job is to seek them. Our job is to go out to them. Not the religious people. The religious people have no problem with this. The religious people have no problem coming into not coming into their churches. They like, R4 and no more. They really do. I've been in churches like that. The religious people are not going to do that. Neither are the Levites or... He might as well say they're religious too. They don't care about that. But see, as a good Samaritan, we care about what goes on out there. Now, and let me tell you something. I'm all for Christian schools. I love Christian schools. I love homeschooling. I really do. But you know what? We've done Christian school and homeschooling so much that we have lost the public schools. We took the salt out of the public schools. Why? It used to be where Pastor Crawford could go into a public school here locally and say, "You know what? I heard you teaching this. Is that true?" "Well, Pastor, yeah. What? You know that, Pastor? We're sorry. We won't do it anymore." We used to be able to do that. It's like we become isolated today. It's like we want to hide in our little circles and we don't want to get out. We have to go out to these people and get them. They're not coming to us. They're not coming to us at all. Let me tell you something. Christ left His home to come to where I was. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. I wasn't looking for Him. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." It says, seek and save. He sought me. He found me. He convicted me. I got saved. That's our job. That's what He left us to do. We have to go out and seek people. Now, we can't save them. All we can do is present the gospel to them. Oh, and He said He'll go with us. Be with us always. I'll get to that in a second. If we want to see people come to Christ, we need to go to where they are. But let me tell you something. If you can't go to where they are, then you need to learn to send people to where they are. I promise you, I'm leaving October the 11th at 9:15 p.m. It's a Saturday night. I'm getting on a plane in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm flying 16 hours and 10 minutes to Sydney, Australia. We're landing Monday morning. You're welcome to come with me. I got tickets pretty cheap. They were $1,396 per person. Okay? Only thing we're praying about now is $600 more so we can get exit row seats so we have more leg room. But other than that, I'm going to be there. You're welcome to come. But if you're not willing to come, you're going to have to send somebody. If you're not willing to go to Mexico, you got to send somebody. You got to go to where they are. But you know what? If you're Brother Wayne, I can't get out. My health just won't let me get out. Amen. Help send somebody to your family members. Help send somebody to your neighbors. Send somebody to them. Get somebody to go to them. You can do it. I had a lady in Australia. I knocked on her door. I gave her a track and everything. I said, talked to her. She said, well, we go to this Nelson Bay Baptist Church. It's a Baptist Union. Baptist Union makes Southern Baptists look like independent fundamentals. Okay, so Baptist Union Church, and I said, okay, well, there's my number. If you ever need a pastor, your pastor can't make it or whatever, I'll fill in for him. Not up to that. A year and a half later, she called me and said, could you go visit my aunt in the nursing home? And I said, well, I'd love to, but first, did you ask your pastor? I've been asking him for a year and a half. He won't go. No problem, I'll go by. We'll be at your church Sunday. I said, whoa, wait a minute. No, I don't want you to come to my church just because I'm going to go visit your aunt. I'll go do it because I told you I would. I visited her aunt for about, I think it was a year straight before she passed away. Her aunt passed away. A year straight. And that lady and her husband came to our church. Got on fire for a while. Why? Because I sought somebody. We think it's all us, but it ain't us. We got to get over some things. We got to get over ourselves a lot of times. So we got to seek people. Next thing we got to do, number two, we got to have sympathy for people. Verse 33 again. But a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him. One of the problems we have today is that we don't have any compassion. Compassion literally means suffering with others. Literally what it means. But you know what we like to do? Now, don't get me wrong. In Australia, we have a big deal, and I'm starting to see a little bit here. We have a big deal where the guys and girls put spacers in their ears. You know what I'm talking about? The holes that get bigger and bigger. When I first saw them, I swear I wanted to take a slingshot and see if I can hit through it. I know we laugh at that, and I was wrong thinking that way. You know why? Because they don't know any better. They're not saved. In Australia, we don't have no shirt, no shoes, no service rules. We don't have that at all. I've seen guys in Speedos come into a grocery store. And I promise you, I was tiny compared to him. This wasn't right. We're laughing about that, but the problem is he don't know any better. He hasn't been taught. Nobody has shown him the gospel. Nobody cares to show him the gospel there. We have no sympathy for them. Oh, throw this in, just a little side note here, and I apologize. It seems like independent Baptist churches are getting to the point that we abandon people today. Somebody gets mad in his church and leaves. It's not your fault. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with the pastor. And they just leave. And what do? We ain't going to talk to them no more. You know what? They're backslidden, or they're having a hard time, or they got emotional and no longer let Christ control them, so they're having a strong time, and it should be us going to them and going, we love you, no matter what. As I said in Sunday school class, one of our problems today is, he hurt me, she hurt me, they hurt my feelings, they made me mad, they did things against me. And if you notice, every one of them was me, 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 me. I'm sorry, it's called selfishness. We don't have sympathy on anybody today because we're selfish. You know what? Christ had great compassion on me. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And I promise you, my life, He was long-suffering to me. Even after I got saved, He was long-suffering to me. Even when I was in Australia, He's definitely long-suffering to me. He was long-suffering. We're supposed to be long-suffering. He saw us the way we really are. We are to love people the way they really are. Everybody grows at a different rate. And it breaks my heart because I was gone for 9 years and I come to America and y'all went nuts. And I'm not just talking about the government, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. I don't see the love anymore sometimes. I'm generalizing. I'm not saying, I mean, I've seen it here. I've had more people come up and shake my hand here and friendly to me than 90% of churches I go to. I'm not saying all churches. But you ought to keep watch on your church or you can become that way. We're to love people. We have sympathy for people. But Brother Wayne, they're sinners. Yeah, so are you. The only reason you're spiritual right now is because you decided to surrender to Christ completely. You strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only difference between you and them. The only difference between me and you, I tell you right now, the only difference between me and you is the simple fact that God called me to Australia. I couldn't pastor in the States. I'm too redneck. I get in trouble too much. Australians love the fact I'm blunt with them and tell them exactly the way it is. They want that. We got to love people and we got to have sympathy for people. Next thing we need to do is we got to have service. That's what I mean. Look at verse number 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. He didn't stop with just seeking him. He didn't stop with just having sympathy on him. But he actually stopped and helped him. Okay? Christ always helps us when we seek him. Listen, when I say seek him, I'm talking about after we get saved, we seek him. Lord, we get on our knees and we pray, Lord, I love you. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I need you. Lord, please help me. And sometimes he lets us go through some things just to help teach us. Nothing happens in your life as an accident. You've always heard the statement, you know, bad things happen to good people. You've heard that before, right? You know, that's a false statement. Bad things happen to bad people. Well, Brother Wayne, bad things happen to me. If it wasn't for Christ, you're a bad person. You're still a bad person. Just as Christ's righteousness covers you. What it is good things happen to bad people. It's just Christ blessing us despite of us. So why can't we serve somebody else? Why can't we help somebody else? Brother Wayne, I don't know what to do about my next door neighbor. How about invite him to church and carry him? Bring him to church. Bring their children to church if they let you. You don't need a great big bus to bring children to church. Bring them yourself. Love them. We need to have sympathy on people. We often see the need and have compassion, but we fail to help. Because helping means we have to give of ourselves. And we don't want to do that. Lastly, next one we need is self-denial. Last part of verse number 34, and he set on him his own beast. He denied himself to help. He denied his own animal, what he was riding on, and he decided to walk to put them on his animal to help him. That's what he did. Christ helped us. Christ denied what was rightfully his to give us eternal life. And if that's all he ever did, that was enough. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ, was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you deny yourself? I'll close with this. We'll make it simple. Let's boil it all down to one thing. Okay? Being totally surrendered to Christ. If you're saved in here this morning, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother Wayne, I got saved. I got all the Holy Spirit I'm going to get. Amen. You did. Let me explain something to you. I was in the United States Navy. All right? And the Navy, I was on a Navy ship, a fast frigate. A fast frigate is nothing but a torpedo catcher. That's what a fast frigate is. Our job is to protect the aircraft carrier. If they shoot a torpedo at it, our job is to get in front of that torpedo so don't hit the aircraft carrier. That's our job. And to hunt subs. That's what we did. We practice all the time of taking a torpedo hit. All the time. One of the things you do is we all, our doors in our ship are watertight. That means we shut that door and dog it down. Water will not penetrate through that door. Okay? So if some part of our ship gets hit, that's fine. It gets hit. We shut down certain doors throughout that ship, and it does not let the water take over the ship. It stops it right there. What we do, though, as Christians, is we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and we dog down doors. Oh, Christ, you can have this part of our life, but you can't have this part. You can have this part, but you can't have this part. You can't have this part, but you can't have this part. We dog down certain doors. The only thing I'm asking you to do and to think about and what Christ wants you to do is open all the doors and just let yourself be flooded. Oh, by the way, it's an everyday thing. Because you're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to dog down some more doors. You need to open them back up. That's just the best way I can explain it. Of giving yourself totally to Christ. And when you give yourself totally to Christ, guess what happened? So-and-so hurt my feelings, but you know what? No, he didn't. So-and-so's mad at me. I'm sorry he's mad at me. I'll go try to make it right. I love him. So-and-so's been talking bad about you. That's okay. We're praying for him. That's what happens. Souls are dying in Hazlet, Texas. And it makes your heart weep. And you want to do something about it. In other parts of the world, it makes your heart weep. And you want to do something about it. It'll actually make you stand up here one day and go, I miss my people. I miss them. We have so many places in Australia that I can't even get... How do I do it all? I can't. I can only do one place at a time. What do you do? People got to surrender. People got to see. And you got a good Bible college right down the road. You don't have to drive far. What are you going to do? Brother Wayne, you didn't talk about money. No, I didn't. But I'll do this. In 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 24, King David numbered the people, and then he numbered the people. God punished. God said, I'll stop it if you'll go to this certain vineyard, and you'll turn around, and you build an altar and sacrifice to me. King David went to that certain vineyard, and the owner of that vineyard said, you know what? If that's what God told you to do, I'll give you everything. I'll give it all to you. I'll give you the vineyard. I'll give you the wood. I'll give you the bullocks. I'll give you everything to make sacrifice. And King David said this, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So what is your Christianity costing you now? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you don't know for sure you died and going to heaven, what does this all mean for me then? Simple. What are you depending on to get you to heaven? Your good works? Following the Ten Commandments? Coming to church? Reading your Bible? What? Being nice to your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, or whatever? When the Bible says, put your faith and trust in me. Oh, I do put my faith and trust in him, but I also trust these other things. You know what? That don't get you to heaven. It means you're dependent on five or six things to get you to heaven. These things are good. But this thing gets you to heaven. If you're not saved here, get rid of these things. Put those off the side. And come this morning and put your faith and trust in Christ. Might every head be bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. You stand to your feet. I don't know what's going on with your life this morning. I don't know what struggles you're making this morning. I do not even know. Maybe everything I talked about this morning you're doing, but you have something else. This is the time to come and get it right with God. Brother Wayne, I'll do it later. You know what? 99.9% of the time you won't. Come now. Come now. If you don't know for sure you die today, you go to heaven, come and let somebody open the Bible up and show you how you can know. I like what my preacher led me, Lord, to say, let you know that you know that you know without a doubt. Please, the altars are open. Come now.
Well, straightforward message this morning. If you're here this morning, I love that. He sought them. We ought to seek them. Sympathy for them. Compassion for those around us. Whether it's our neighbor or co-worker or whether it's someone in Australia. And then to act upon that and do it. It's not just about having compassion, but it's actually praying for them. It's actually going and mowing the neighbor's yard or, you know, it's giving something, it's doing something for them. We should be doers and not just hearers. What a message this morning. Lord, we thank you for the message. Pray that you bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name.